Abby and boys and girls, and welcome back to the Broken Gun Podcast with Lloydie, Johnny, and Bruce. And of course, me, Top Shot, Pigeon Magnet, Eddie Tunstall.
Hi, Eddie.
How are you doing, boys?
Good afternoon, Eddie. How are you?
Hello, Eddie.
You're looking very,
as you may,
thin.
And beardless, Eddie. I see you've shaved your beard.
Honk, honk. Ladies and gentlemen, Eddie is not actually here, just for the record. Eddie bowed out about 6 minutes ago. It's very sad for all of us here. And as such, we're all going to take turns standing in for him in a ridiculous West Country accent.
There's still time. He still might do a Johnny and turn up late.
It's possible. He may join us from a McDonald's car park at some point in the evening.
Where the Wi-Fi is strong.
Indeed. He has moved house to a place where there is no Wi-Fi and is unable to join us this evening. So we'll just have to grin and bear it and carry on without him.
All right, boys. It's been 2 weeks since we caught up. What's on? What have you been doing?
I've been, like, shooting in that. Done a release the 486 review. I've got a Vittoria, which I managed to get Mrs. P out on Friday. It was her birthday, so took her down to Thibbleby, got her out with that, shot some B-roll, and she's going to review that for me on the channel. And then yesterday, I got from Ray Trade, finally.
So you're not going to be in that video whatsoever?
I'll be in it, but she's doing the review.
You're not going to be in that video whatsoever?
I'm going to be in it, yeah.
Shame.
Unfortunately, it is. Yeah. Sorry.
Couldn't just let the women do our job.
I could, but see, the thing about Good D is, and this was the same with her previous sport, which I shan't mention, lest any of you get too drunk. She knows how to drive them. She doesn't know how the engine works. She knows nothing about the technical bit. She just wants to pull the trigger and go bang. So I'll be doing the technical bits, and then I'll let her.
The problem with you, Lloyd, is you're a girt misogynist.
That is exactly what it is. I'll have to mansplain how guns work to her. And then, as I said, as yesterday, I got finally a Yildiz Pro Sport through from Ritter. So I'm going to be giving that a try.
It's going to go head to head with the Ruparazzi.
Well, that wouldn't be fair. That would not be fair at all. It's
what
pitched.
Happened last time we put a fake versus a real Parazzi next to each other, Lloyd?
Well, talent was a factor. and practice. But it's when it comes to, it's not fair measuring a gun that's like 14 grand against a gun that's 1600 quid.
It's, no, not at all.
In its market segment.
What everyone's interested in, right? That's clearly what people are wanting to hear.
That's the click.
Is it though? Yeah. No, but is it though? If you've got 1600 quid to spend on a gun, you're either going to buy a 686 or a 525 or potentially one of these. And that's, to me, that's what's interesting. Maybe people want to see a showdown between a real Parazzi and a fake Parazzi.
Yeah, they definitely do.
We've done that. So I'm going to do something else.
Do it. Do it with your, you know, anal autism.
This anal
is
autism.
Slightly less polished.
Anal autism is a new kind of autism that only I suffer from, apparently.
What if you can swap the parts over? That'd be start swapping bits around in there.
Nope. There are some differences in. I was looking at it. Funnily enough, there are some differences. I haven't put a set of barrels on. I might. Anyway, I also shot a bit of Fitask yesterday for the first time, which was interesting. It wasn't like contagious. It wasn't full Fitask. It was a Fitask style sort of practice session at Biowa.
So you shot a couple of sporting stands gun down, did you?
In a hoop?
No. So they'd actually done a setup with hoops, with some fairly rangy, edgy, like challenging targets, and it was shot under like Fitask conditions, sort of thing. And it was interesting. And I really enjoyed it, but I can see why. It doesn't get shot very much in the Northeast for certain. It must take bloody forever. Because when you're putting a squad through each layout, it
takes a whole day to shoot 100 birds.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a really low income proposition for a club to do for a day. Because your number of people you're going to put through that are very low.
you've only got to look at the American World Champion, well, the American World Fitas, where they had it last year, and they start to say, well, we'll throw in all these side games. And Fitas says, no, 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 you only shoot 75 birds a day. And they're, well, no, 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 we shoot thousands of birds a day.
Yeah.
The concept is so far.
Yeah.
And it's not a money-making exercise at all.
Yeah, but that's what clubs are and it shooting is super grounds. Slow. That's what shooting grounds want. Is that's why Sport Trap's popular. That's why DTL is popular, because it's a you're rattling people through. Yeah. You're getting money through the door, squads through. This is the opposite of that. So I can see why.
Hey, every time the arm goes around is when you make money, and it just doesn't go around that often when you shoot a good task.
No. Yeah,
it's a 50 bird day versus a 200 bird day, isn't it? Yeah. You've got to get the same beaters, same work, everything, except suddenly you're not earning any money. You just have to work really hard.
Yeah, as a shooter, I mean, I don't know. Do you normally like turn up with like a fairly tight, like you're starting at 245, so you turn up at 230, otherwise you're wasting your time because you just be frigging sitting there. I guess you must have to. It's not a day.
It's just a lot of sitting around.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of sitting around. So at a Nationals, you get a time slot. So you get three time slots for the day. And if you're not there on time, you get called three times.
Right.
And that's it. You're out. Done. Target's lost. So you've got to be prompt. Okay. But you shoot 25 birds and then go sit and wait and wait and wait. And then next layer. It does definitely. There's a lot of sitting around and waiting.
So it's kind of that level of gratification, I think, is why maybe it's not quite as popular as it could be, because it's certainly fun and it was
so what you're saying, Lloyd, is it's not for you.
Is that what I said? I'm saying I can see why it's not for as you? Popular. Stop putting words in my mouth. It's not what I said.
See, I can see that I really have enjoyed shooting it recently, probably more than I ever done in my life. Would I consider going to a competition and waiting around all day to shoot 75 birds? Probably not. Would I do it for pleasure? Definitely. Like, it's an extremely pleasurable discipline.
Yeah.
But then I get bored waiting 5 minutes for the next person in the stand. So probably not.
I'm bored of waiting for you to finish this sentence.
See, I find it I find it extremely social. It's just a good laugh with the lads. And you shoot 100 birds over most competitions for the day, so you still get your 100 in. Usually out in somewhere scenic, walking around. It's a good crack. I do enjoy it. It's less fast-paced than what a sporting layout can be. And it does my head in, shooting the same pair four times in a row, next pair four times in a row.
All right, boys, I'm about to blow the goose, so best move on. What have you been up to, Bruce?
I have been.
Been blowing any gooses?
Couple. Been out for a shoot. I can't remember what I'd shot last time we spoke. Shot a state qualifier and had a fairly reasonable score. Then we shot a club shoot, had a fairly reasonable score. And I think I was away last weekend for another state qualifying shoot. Shot terrible, absolutely terrible. But you do get those every now and again.
Apologies, folks. We suffered a short technical outage during the podcast record that meant we lost a little bit of audio. Effectively, all you missed was Johnny accusing me of wanting a shotgun that looked like the Terminator's dick. We shall resume from there.
So, where was I? Shot a state qualifier last weekend. Didn't do so well. I've kind of analysed it a little bit, looked back in the diary, found out why I wasn't doing so well. And we'll move on from that one. That's all secret squirrel stuff, mate. I can't tell you how the analysis works.
He was pissed.
Unfortunately, we've been locked down this weekend. That's it. So, and it looks like it's going to go on for a few more weeks.
Fortunately, though, I mean, you're now in a lockdown, but you've been really lucky because your mates haven't taken the piss out of you at all. We've all been dead supportive.
I just want to point out that I actually have. I haven't said anything nasty about him.
Fuck off.
Your problem is, mate. Sorry.
You haven't rubbed it in, no. Not at all. Lloyd has. Eddie has. Johnny hasn't.
Just wait till Friday if you're still in lockdown. I'm clay shooting.
So, Johnny, what's on, Johnny, mate? Where have you been up to this week? Arr.
Well, this last few weeks, I have also been out clay shooting three times. Three times.
Where at?
Well, I went to Barbary with you, Eddie, as you'll remember. How did you get on, Eddie?
Well, see, yes. I recognise you all right, but then I moaned about shooting shit to everyone, trying to make everyone feel sorry for me before I even come out, see? Because I wanted to get my excuses in early, see?
So let's be honest. Eddie has never had any lessons, really, has he? He's self-taught, and what he's been taught is probably by a complete and utter bell. I'm sure he's a lovely bloke, but he can't clearly, like, nobody who's understands the technical side of shooting.
Yeah.
And it shows in his clay shooting. Firstly, he hates clay shooting, so he doesn't put any attention or compassion or anything into it, which is just embarrassing. And then he throws little two-year-old wobblies. but pretends he's not throwing them. However, he has amazing company. So, well, yeah, it was a tough filming session. There is a little ode to David Florent, and Eddie tried to give me a lesson halfway through the day. It's quite entertaining.
Oh, I can't wait to see this. I cannot wait.
It's going to be a rough and ready edit episode, and it was snowing and raining all day, so we were absolutely battered. And then we were shooting the Breeder Zenith, which kind of took it out of us as well, because as much as there's a lot of good about that gun, it just there's a few things that just hold it back from being good. Lloyd, you've reviewed guns that you go, I tell you what, with like an hour or two of work, this could be amazing.
Yes.
But as it is, it's just... It's being really held back by the fact that the grip is designed for hands of giants.
I have, and in general, I've actually sent those guns back rather than review them. If something, I can feel it's like it could be good, but it's I don't want to smash it. I.e., by reviewing it and absolutely shitting all over it, I've actually sent them back to the manufacturer and said, "Do better."
Yeah, I had the conversation with them, and hopefully they've said they're sending down a stock or getting a stock sent over from Italy so that I can rework it. And I really don't know why I'm doing it, but it would be just interesting to see whether my theory is correct. Mm-hmm. And that if I take a file to that stock and turn the grip into something a little bit more manageable, the gun will change slightly.
You're saying it had too big a grip?
Oh, it was vast. Like, it was just vast. You could park a car on the palm swell.
I don't mind a large grip in a gun.
No.
Was this excessive?
It was just obscene. Like, I can't even describe how big this grip is. Like, it is designed for shovely hands. I've got fair-sized hands. It's just disgustingly big. And as such...
How did Eddie go with it? Because he's got big mitts.
He did it right. Like, he actually, out of all of us, probably shot it, well, enjoyed the grip most.
He loves a good grip.
I'm not going to draw any conclusions from that at all.
It's just strange, like how you don't really appreciate how good a good grip is until you've held a lot of bad ones, and you realise that actually you do need to be able to just close your hand around it a little bit. Otherwise, having your hand open tenses up your entire arm. It fucks you up.
Yeah.
To the point, Barbary have this really epic high tower. And they're throwing not too complex a crosser off it, but a big crosser. Miss, 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 miss. Eddie went and got his Mark 38. Could pick the Mark 38 up. Smash, 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 yeah. Straight away. I walked in, shot one. They go, all right, we'll do it again, make sure it's not fluke. And every time, munching it. And you just go, it's just... I mean, it's not fair, is it? Shooting a gun you shoot versus something else. But I suppose
Because you can relax when you're shooting your own gun. You are completely au fait with it and everything fits and...
Yeah,
it's one thing your brain's not thinking about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Your brain says, this hits things. I'm good.
Yeah.
It's exactly that. Exactly that. And then I went out to West London. That was exciting. Everyone's seen that video. It was great fun. I made Ant bleed. West London is definitely worth a visit. It's just a nice place.
That incover was a bit naughty, like.
I mean, it's on an ABT, so you have to do it very purposefully to shoot it straight at yourself. Which we were not told off for, but warned that it was an unintelligent, unsafe idea, to which I informed them that I know where shooting glasses, so I'm fucking indestructible. Ha ha.
Unless they're shooting glasses that you've smashed.
I do like that aluminium. The aluminium heap of shit that you were using was pretty cool.
Oh, mate, the Baby Breton, what a wicked gun. I mean, that's like...
I want to try that. I definitely want to give it a go.
I mean, it that's might be a bit cool much gun. For you, little man.
Once.
Really?
Once, you want to give it a go. Then hand it back. Cheers.
But anything fast, anything close, it's like the most perfect machine in the world. And then you try and shoot it at some big stuff, and it's a lot of hard work, as you'd imagine.
But I just love the whole concept of the action, though. It's so different.
Mate, the fact it's got aluminium barrels says it all to me, because all these people go, no, my steel, you can't put this down my barrels. But I guess they've made these barrels of aluminium. Aluminium?
Aluminium?
Oh, sorry. You could bite through these aluminium barrels. Like, they're not nothing.
Are they like cork cans?
They're a little thicker, but not much. They're
not sleeved at all.
It's tubes of aluminium screwed into the barrel block. That's it.
Wow.
So you can literally unscrew them out and then screw different tubes back in, which is cool because you can then restrict it down to 20 bore. You can do whatever you want. It's wicked.
Yes, that sounds great.
And when they blow up, you buy another £200 barrel and screw it back in.
That's convenient considering they're made out of Coke cans.
Yeah. Good for the environment, probably.
Yeah, which is more than we can say for the giant pile of plastic shells at West London, which
that's cool. That plastic that is cool.
See, I'm really torn because I'm like, that's so like it's so wasteful, it's such a bad indicator I sport, but I want to jump on it and take selfies because it's cool as shit. Like, it's just amazingly cool.
Are they waiting for them to break down at the eventual heat death of the universe?
I mean, I was thinking I could burrow into it and live inside the mountain of cartridges like Stig.
Surely they can be recycled. Or are they waiting for a point in the universe where you can recycle those
two? That's a really good question, because how do you? I mean, I guess normally with recycling, you have to separate out everything into its constituent parts.
Very, very expensive, so you have to pay a lot of money to get them recycled, so people generally don't.
Because you'd have to trim off the head.
The brass, yeah.
Yep.
That will eventually be a thing. And they'll be able to make a fortune from those cartridges.
Okay, so there are companies that do it already. However, you say no one uses it because it is expensive. But it's got to either be the next thing or biodegradable cartridges. Obviously, BioAm already do that, but you need about 1,000 years for them to biodegrade. And I was thinking, I don't know what you guys thought of this, but imagine if someone said to you, you can buy 10,000, just for the sake of saying 10,000 cartridges, and you hand them back 1,000 empties at a time, they reload them for you.
Yeah. I mean, it worked with milk bottles, for Christ's sake.
Bruce says no.
I say no. No.
I mean, obviously, you only get weird. A certain number of reloads, but what if we went back to, like, copper cartridges?
Oh, I would be erect constantly.
Can you... No, the failure rate. Imagine the misfires and weirdness you get. Oh, this one's a little bit deformed. I just think you wouldn't get the quality of product that you're buying today. They'd have to put a lot of work into it to get it back to a standard of product that you'd go, yep, that's acceptable for me to buy.
That's a good point. So you'd have to start with a very expensive cartridge case.
Hull. Yeah, exactly.
Very expensive.
But what if you get, you know, when you leave a cartridge sitting around, it does gather a little bit of tarnish and rust on the head. You don't want to go putting that through your gun.
Well, you don't. Ugh. You don't.
Yuckies.
You don't Johnny oil your cartridges individually.
No.
You don't have a man that'll do it for you.
Polish them all.
I just buys them and shoots them.
Anyhow, after you went to West London, you went to Grimsthorpe.
Mate, I've had a wicked couple of weeks saying it out loud. Yeah, it's been good. And then I've been to Yorkshire as well. How epic was that? Went to Yorkshire.
Is that another NGO?
I was finishing the Burning documentary with Dr. Andreas Heinemeier, who's doing this great study between burning and cutting heather, in that burning releases a load of carbon, but actually the bio, all of the cut heather degrading is actually releasing way more carbon over time. Mm-hmm. And after 10 years, the graphs have met. So after, like, at this point, the burn should start to be more carbon positive than cutting. It's not really exciting.
No, but it is true, because people think that there's like some form of magic happens, and you know what I mean, they think that like trees somehow eat carbon. No, they just fucking store it And then if the tree falls over, it gets released back in the atmosphere. Or if you burn it, it gets released back in the atmosphere. It's not magic. So cutting stuff is exactly the same. It just takes a bit longer. And as you say, you know, it's not carbon neutral, you know. It just isn't.
No, but this is the first test that's ever been done on it. And they're looking to, they're in 10 years in, and they need funding for another 10 years. But obviously the way that funding works is they're probably not going to get it. So the science is going to be completely useless for the sake of 10 years. And all these grouse millionaires don't really want to pay for it privately and probably shouldn't, because then it wouldn't be viewed as unbiased. Anyway, that's by the by. It has made the documentary good. However, we're now waiting for his approval on his segment. And he's, because he's a doctor and a scientist, obviously wants it to be peer reviewed by his friends. So we're now waiting for them to check it out to make sure what he said was correct. Hopefully it'll be out this Friday. Oh, anyway, well, more excitingly, I went to Grimsthorpe with Ed Solomons.
Ooh, how was that?
Answer.
Well, I felt kind of guilty because he's Bruce's boyfriend.
You didn't touch him in his special place, did you? That's for me only. He told me he'd never let anyone else touch him.
No, because he's on your team, isn't he? He's cut.
Yes, that's right.
I just find that inherently ugly. Wouldn't touch it. Not my...
Did you have a good time?
An exceptional time, actually. Ed is a great bloke. Obviously, we had him on the podcast, and kind of he's good. He's unbelievably good.
Did you get any coaching off him?
A little bit here and there, but nothing too formal. Like it was, we were filming various things, so we were mucking around more than anything.
It wasn't like a childerly day.
No, he said he couldn't fix me if he tried. So
yeah, fair enough.
What sort of challenges did you do? Like, he's pretty handy off the hip.
I mean, breaking news: we shot Fitask together. He's the world Fitask champion from 2014. Just so we're clear, everyone.
Does that mean he's quite good?
Once,
yeah. But that was the last time he competed professionally. All right, that's the last time he competed professionally. And since then, he's been coaching full time for 9 years, and for time before that, the guy sees millions and millions of targets a year. Just to be clear, so I am, you know, forgiven. So I shot against him at Fitask, and I lost.
From the conversations I've had, you held your own well.
The fact he was shooting from the hip doesn't make that a compliment.
Oh, I thought you were both shooting from the shoulder from the way he explained it.
No, mate. I mean, we shot shoulder to shoulder in the end. And that was over the first two pegs. It was all right. But at range, that man is just obscene.
It's pretty phenomenal, isn't it?
Yeah, but the thing is, he shot the same from the hip as he did from the shoulder. In fact, I think he shot a worse score from the shoulder than he did from the hip. That is an unnatural talent. Like, it's just obscene trick shooting. But it's not trick shooting. It's just shooting.
What was the ground like? Because Jason's invited me down next weekend. Unfortunately, I can't make it. I need to tell Jason that. But JD invited us to pop down with him. He's going down with Carly next weekend, and I can't make it. But what was it like?
It's a beautiful, beautiful ground. Like, really exclusive. You drive down this real long drive. You get to a stunning clubhouse. Got a lovely shop. The cafe wasn't open, unfortunately. They've got this beautiful veranda overlooking this beautiful valley. Lots of beautifuls, as you can see. And they serve beer, cocktails, and fine food.
Oh.
Sod the clay shooting.
Yeah. So that's a place where you want to go shoot Fitask.
Where you've got something to do in between.
And then you go and relax and have cocktails.
Yeah, like, to me, I could get Fitask if there was a cocktail bar between each of the bloody sands and layouts.
I say, bring me more foie gras and martinis.
Do you not serve hex here, boys?
Can I have half a dozen half-smoked cigarettes, please, and some water at the bottom of a bin?
Oh, dear. It's definitely on my list. Grimsthorpe looks like an amazing place. Is it a large ground?
It's extremely large. So as you walk down, we Ed set up a private Fitask layout for us to muck about on just outside the clubhouse. Ooh. There we are.
As you do.
As you do, to which he then stood 20 yards behind the hard hoop and decided to straight it, because he's just that guy. In fact, I think we stood best part of 100 yards behind the hard hoop and we're shooting this crosser. That's the other video we did. Man. Epic. Anyway, so you walk down this track. There are buggies for hire. I would hire a buggy if I went to Grimsthorpe. It's Austin size. It's just full of trees, so it doesn't... It's harder to comprehend. We were driving for hours to get to the end, what it felt like. They've got an amazing game layout. Like, it's just a beautiful spot. All set in this huge wood with a beautiful track leading into it, and away you go.
Sounds amazing. Again, yeah. The video I can't wait to see.
It's definitely, definitely worth a go. Like, and it's hard, isn't it? Because every ground that you go to is made up by the experience more than the ground.
Hmm.
So it's hard. It takes, I always think, like a month or two after you're done to then look at it completely objectively.
Yeah.
But it is very much up there and one of the best grounds we've been to, just for a mixture of good targets and a beautiful sort of exclusive. Not, I obviously look for exclusivity when you go to a ground, you see, dear.
Does the ground have the ability to set up a private fitter's clear-out for I and one servant?
I only come when there's a world champion on staff.
Oh, but he hasn't won a world championship since 2014. Do you have anyone more recent?
He also needs to be a good conversationalist. You know, lick my ass properly.
Eddie's one of those blokes, you want to hate him because he's a knob, but he is such a nice bloke. He's just genuinely good fun all around and very humourful. As you all know, we've had him on the podcast.
Yeah, I wouldn't hesitate to go and have some private... I will not hesitate to go and have some private lessons with him later this year.
Yeah.
I took a lot away from the day we spent together. It wasn't obviously a proper tuition or anything, but just took a lot of hints and tips and knowledge from him. So I need to go and work on myself.
I actually contacted Ed. I know he doesn't need to hear this from somebody like me, but after I watched his video with Paul Tilley, I actually contacted him. I said, mate, it is really, really good to see someone who understands fundamentally coaching on TV. It just, you know what I mean? He's obviously one of these people that just gets the technique. He gets the ability to explain things. He gets how to like break stuff down, explain how to do it as well as why to do it, and then getting you to do it. And it's just such a rare skill set, as well as being so bloody able. It's disgusting. But you know what I mean? It is genuinely a joy to watch somebody like that.
I think some of the credit... Sorry, Johnny.
I mean, I find it quite funny with that video that a few people obviously trolled it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I can appreciate that because there's some other instructors out there online. There's quite a few, actually, who will turn to the camera and tell everyone how to do it exactly with great confidence in very few words. So people go, yes, yes, I'm doing it wrong. I'm going to do it exactly like that. And that, I mean, it reeks of something, certainly. However, what I found about Ed, and I've watched his Instagram stories for months and months leading up to actually meeting him, and I was kind of, I was unsure, right? Because you don't really know until you meet someone and spend some time with them. But you're right, he's a coach. He's not a teacher. He's not teaching people to do it away. He's coaching them. And certainly what I noticed with me is when he looks over your shoulder, he speaks to me very differently to how he spoke to everyone else. He clocked my style. He clocked everything about it. And everything he said was, it felt very tailor-made, which obviously then when watching him do something for someone else could be like, nah, don't have a fucking clue, son.
I think some of the credit's got to go to Field Sports too, because I spoke with him about that and they filmed probably an hour on that segment. They've broken it down into 10 minutes of the fairly useful parts of that conversation. But they've taken the very poignant bits and made it into quite a good video. So congratulations to them for that, because you could really, really fuck that and take useless pieces of information and make Ed and Paul look like Muppets.
Yeah. No, that's fair. No, I'll give them that.
And on that note, the TGS video will be out in about 2.5 weeks' time.
We look for a similar level of quality, if not better.
I've seen the trailer you've done for Ed for Grimsthorpe. Looks awesome.
It was a good
day. The TGS trailer. Yeah.
It was a good day. It is a beautiful ground. It really is, no doubt. And we didn't really see a lot of it. Essentially, we were together all day. I think we shot 3 sporting stands, the game's layout, and spent a lot of time on Fitask, because we're both kindred spirits that we just prefer dicking about and shooting difficult targets versus simple ones, because I'd rather miss and have a laugh than straight a stand and go, oh, exciting.
Any other crack this week then, since you've obviously had a fun-filled 2 weeks.
Was that not enough?
No. For instance, have you perchance had any Iliad length comments on any of your videos pointing out what an utter bell you are and how utterly, utterly wrong you are to like a side by side that is anything other than, for instance, a classic English sport with a split the forehand. Have you had any of those?
The man has a point, but yeah.
Boyd, I feel like you've been trolled online this week.
No, just as a guy posted an epic Iliad length comment on one of my vids about the 486, funny enough, taking me to task for liking a gun that doesn't have a splinter forend and that doesn't have a straight hand stock and that doesn't have a double trigger and
has multi chokes.
Multi chokes are clearly just the devil's work. And then I gather he then commented very similarly on your video, which is same gun.
I waxed less lyrically about how beautiful it was and comparing it to another gun, so he hated me less than he hated you.
Clearly
on a bender of how bad that gun was.
Yeah, this man does not like 486s.
I think he likes the 486, but only the splinter 4-inch straight hand stock one.
Bless him. Along with the usual cavalcade of how much is gun.
Hello, Pete.
How much is gun? Yeah. I won't buy.
Can you send me this bitch?
I get at least.
It's strange because actually, it's probably about how much is gun? I'd break out.
That's actually Eddie.
Yeah.
What's on? How much is gun in this country, though?
No, it wasn't me. I haven't had the internet, boy.
How much is it in Somerset monies?
I do hear Eddie's got 4 or 5 social media accounts that he trolls people on.
No, that's not Eddie. That was someone else.
Where else are we at for field sports news this week? Anything going on over there?
Not a lot.
No.
Not a lot.
It's all quiet since the whole lead steel statement. But in the last podcast, everything's quiet and right down, which is pleasant.
See what happens when you open the country up again and people get busy and they don't sit on their hands and make up fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Everyone just gets on with their life. They don't have the time to run around and make up little weird things.
Indeed, everybody's too busy out having fun in the sunshine and getting...
So I presume, seeing as you've been locked down for about 48 hours, you've got some bullshit.
Have you got any QAnon theories you'd like to share with us?
So many. The tinfoil hats had to come out this week, and everyone in Western Australia is very much going, I wonder why they've done this. Why have they done that for 3 cases of coronavirus? It must be because of this. No one's getting vaccinated. Maybe it's because of... Who knows? So there's definitely tinfoil hat theories as to why we are locked down.
Of course.
The rest of Australia has shut their borders to us, so we're sitting over here in Western Australia, oh boy, our lonesomes. Even New Zealand closed the bubble. That's it. That must be, we're out.
Does anyone notice, though? Because... I don't think a lot of English people don't realise how big Australia is. It is bloody vast. It's fucking huge.
It is rather large.
And there's about 8 people live there. I mean, it's just daft.
The other thing I have noticed over the last couple of weeks is I've had this sudden urge just to go away, throw my phone in the bin, and go hunting for a week or two.
I mean, we all support
that. Is that after you're listening to JD's tar story and you're like,
I just need to get away from work, people, and go away. Just sit out in the bush and hunt. I think I need a trip, but we're not going anywhere at the minute. So I think it's everyone's relaxation, isn't it? It's nice to go away, throw your phone away, no emails, no phone, no Instagram. It's just cool to relax.
Have you got a delivery date on your caravan?
November.
Ugh.
And when does the long dog arrive?
Long dog?
Yeah, and the catapult?
Catapults are illegal in Australia. We've discussed this. I can't have a catapult.
I still don't get that. How the fuck are catapults illegal? You can literally one in 30 seconds.
I don't know. It just is, all right? This is the way we work.
Well, they banned catapults and Corona, but Corona's back, so you might as well get a catapult out for lockdown.
Are sticks also illegal?
You're allowed to have a compound bow, but not a crossbow.
Oh, stop there, mate. That's a rock you've got there. If you throw that, then it's a fucking weapon.
It's a catapult. Are you using your arm as a catapult?
Are you using that as some form of primitive trebuchet? Could you put that down, please?
No.
Have you got a license for that stone?
Yeah. It's going that way.
Is that an assault stone? Fucking hell, mate. It's black. Everyone fucking panic.
What is the stone capacity of your pocket? We're only allowed five stone
right,
capacity pockets.
Pockets that can contain more than 28 stones. Black stones. Stones that don't have at least a 30-inch stock.
You guys should work for the Australian government. You've hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, we could live out in the sun and earn great money. Sounds really good to me.
Yeah.
Speaking of the sun, looks like you've had a little bit there, Jonathan.
Mate, I have been allowed outside clay shooting for the last 2 weeks, and then the sun came out for most of that as well. It's been great. I feel healthy-ish, and I started running again. It's amazing.
I've heard you running. It doesn't sound good.
Yeah, but in fairness, he was running away from the police.
Mate, I live in Siren Central. None of you would appreciate it. Or maybe you would, Lloyd.
How did the refit of the shop go, Jonathan? Good?
Yeah, that was a pretty mammoth mini task, but we managed to get it done on time to reopen, which is cool. It's really nice. It's going really well, RG.
How's business been?
Is it?
We were open over lockdown for click and collect. So yep. Unlike the last one, we didn't have this big boom, and I think most retail shops are finding the same, is that it's very busy, but it's not insane like it was post the first lockdown, where most shops have just been open, servicing that need. Remember, I think last time we reopened, I sold 50,000 cartridges in about 2.5 days. It was sick. This time, I mean, we sold a few, but not quite so many. I think 20,000 in a week, which is very good. Don't get me wrong, I'm not unhappy. I mean, if we made money on cartridges, I'd be smiling, laughing, and buying myself a yacht.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, very much.
Well, I'm poised like a coiled spring, ready to buy something. But it has been so. Here's a little bit of field sports news. Basque released the league tables for forces. This week, I think. And Durham ranks, unfortunately, very, very close to the bottom in terms of turnaround time in 2020 for renewals, grants, and grants of coterminous certificates. So it's been approaching 250 days since I did my application. And, I've had an out. It would be nice to hear back. That's a long time.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, Hampshire are the same. They haven't done grants since 23rd of March, and they're usually about 2 months wait anyway. So there's a lot of people out there waiting a long time.
I do appreciate
that. Not picking
that
on you, Lloyd.
No, I appreciate that, and they've got backlogs and all the rest of it. But like,
although if they watch a YouTube channel, they probably are.
Fair enough. But yeah, it is a little bit frustrating because I'm like, oh, it's time now, please. Thank you. Yes, we're allowed out. New guns now, please. Yes, let's go. And I can't. I'm like, fuck.
They're giving you any sort of indication of what time frame you're going to be?
No, apparently the FEOs keep their own diaries, so they're not. The police, when I ring them, can't tell me anything. They're just like, sorry, they'll get to you when they get to you. So, don't know. A bit of a bugger, but if everybody out there is waiting, you are not alone. There's plenty of us kicking about.
And there's not a lot to shoot at the moment anyway, so there you go.
Isn't there?
Well, it's easy when you got one, I suppose, to say that.
Oh, did you cook up your first deer, Lloyd?
Oh, yeah. How did it taste?
Oh, yes, I did. So I think so far, I think we've had it three times so far. I did a chili. And venison's great for chili. I used a good chunk of mince up to make a chili, which we had over a couple of nights. It was delicious. And then for Dee's birthday on Friday night, I did fillet and loin. Just done with garlic, salt and pepper, and some salad and a few chips. And it was just, it was like the best steak you've ever had sort of thing. It was just, and I cooked it spot on as well. Like a nice rare...
I just hear you gave Dee the loin for her birthday?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been delicious. So in fairness, I need to get some more of it eaten so I can go out and get another one. So yeah.
You do.
Nice.
Very nice. Yes. Have you got the head back yet?
No, so where the head's in the freezer, and when I've got a couple, I'm going to do them in a wanna.
Euro mounts or full mounts?
I don't know what that means.
Are you going to go for a skull or a deer on the wall?
No, skull.
Yeah, cool. Nice and easy.
Weave them to boil and all that luck. So,
yeah.
You got your munchak back yet, Jonathan?
No, he said it was ready a few weeks ago. Just to be honest, that was the point that he said it was ready is when we started refitting the shop and then we reopened and I've been working. So I need to go pick it up now, to be fair.
Well, I mean, we've seen it, haven't we? That was on a...
I've received pictures. So the problem is when I go and get it, then that's that story completed. So that's difficult, isn't it? I want to go and get it, but at the same time, once I've got it, I've got it, and then I have to then go and find something else massive to kill.
I've just thought of something. You have, and I don't want to... Feel free to tell me to go away if you want to keep this for a video, but you've now had a chance to shoot your Manga Ricardo stock.
Oh, yes, I have. How did that go? That was the other thing. Probably no surprise that it fit all right. It was a few mil out from where it needed to be, but it was
high.
It was pretty good.
Touch high in the stock?
No. Stock was fine. I had to actually adjust the cone up and cast it off by about 4 mil to get my eye where I wanted it. Interesting things that I think it might actually be a little bit short as well, where the overall length has increased, but actually the grip length has increased by half an inch. Right. The overall length over my standard measurements is increased a quarter of an inch. So technically now the overall length from the palm of my hand to my shoulder has decreased a quarter of an inch, and I can definitely feel it. Because I also had a chance to shoot my Longthorn, which is significantly longer again, and that feels very nice.
Yes, I saw the photo. It has a significantly large stock on it.
It's a very large piece of wood.
Yes.
But life is too short for small
wood. Many trees died for Jonathan.
I'm an eco-warrior, sort of.
When did the Longthorn arrive? You haven't mentioned this, unless I wasn't listening.
No, because it hasn't arrived. I was obviously on the way to Grimsthorpe. I passed Northampton. The Longthorn factory is in Northampton. My stock is ready. My gun is not. So I phoned Jim and asked him very nicely whether I could turn up at 8 in the morning and pick up a gun with my stock attached to it. He said, yeah, we'll build you something out of some parts so you can take out and give it a good ragging. Just see what you think. And so I did. And then have to drop it back there. And they wait. Well, they weren't going in it, obviously. But they dropped off at 8:30 at night. And I only wish, it sounds stupid, it was great to go out with it. But I kind of wish I'd been alone and I would have shot 500, 600, 700 rounds through it just to get used to it. Yeah. It shoots very, very differently to how I thought it, not how I thought it would.
So you had the Ricardo and the Longthorn with you when you went to see...
Yes, it was not a great day. I should have taken my Maruku as it was to perhaps shoot to, I don't care, not the best of my ability, but just so Ed could have actually seen me shoot the way I shoot. But it was interesting. It was a good learning experience. The Ricardo stock was great, fit well. However, because it is such a large, large piece of wood, it weighs half a ton, and that cocks at the balance of my Maruku, which is a fixed choke gun. It's designed very much for a big, heavy 32-inch barreled multi-choke, extended choke mega.
It's the curse of what we do, though, isn't it? Like, you would think that, like, oh, I'm going to go and see Ed. Like, arguably, I want to be on my fucking A game. But, like, no, I'm going to rock up with two guns I've never shot before because that's what you do. You know what I mean?
It's all about content. I need the content. Yeah. I don't need the content, but I want to make cool, fun content.
Exactly.
However, now having spent the day with Ed, I do have that boner for becoming a competitive shooter a little bit.
So, putting 32-inch multi-choke barrels on that could be very much a thing of the future on your Maruku. Because let's be serious, if you're going to be a competitive clay target shooter, 30s it probably aren't for you. You're probably too tall. You're probably too big.
I don't own a 30-inch blade. So I hate to break it to you. My Maruku's a 32-inch.
Oh.
I know. It's just a fixed choke.
Oh, that's good. What's wrong with that?
The barrels are way too light. Yeah. It's just, I mean, they're not. They're perfect for my gun. But that Ricardo stock is too heavy. And I could take some weight out of it, but at which point, for the price of like a 32-inch 325 Browning or Mark 38 old battered or Mark 70 32-inch multi-choke, something with just a big heavy barrel set that I can clip that stock onto and go and shoot, happy days. But to be honest, I really like the way the Longthorn shoots. It's a very different machine. That's a 32-inch multi-choke. And I'll probably be sticking with that for a while.
I'm assuming, a lot more of a kind of modern balanced gun than you used to.
I mean, my Mark 38, I would say, is a great machine. This is just a little bit lighter and faster and way more deliberate, and it's a lot flatter shooting than I'm used to as well. A lot flatter shooting.
What were Ed's thoughts on the Wormthorn? It's not a Krieghoff.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. Yeah, I mean, it didn't take much. He picked it up, says there's no way I can shoot that. It's got about 3/4 inch right head cast on it at base. Yeah. And it's, I mean, he's not as short as you had me believe, but he's not a giant. So he shot it from the hip and said it shot really well. Yeah, but pretty much it's not a Krieghoff, so it obviously sucks ass.
Yep.
That said, his Krieghoff handles really nice. It's amazing how most good guns that have grips and stocks designed to hold and shoot properly, not just generic cookie cutter shit, handle pretty well.
Shoot his gun?
I had a few shots with it, yeah.
Yep.
I mean, it's the opposite to mine in that it's got 1/2 inch left hand cast. So
that's right. It's not really going to fit you, is it?
I mean, I think I broke a target with it and then missed about 3. I said, nah, thanks, give me mine. Pum, 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 pum. But you've got to have a play. Like that gun world, won a world championship. It would be a bit like going and not sitting in Lewis Hamilton's F1 car. You just want to sit in it, just say you have.
That but, is true.
Significantly less famous.
Who, Lewis Hamilton?
Plus, I would pay to watch you attempt to get it in Lewis Hamilton's car. I reckon you can get one of your feet in.
Now, he is a sub-sized human.
He is, yes.
I mean, they all are, apart from Ricardo, pretty much. Just midgets. Rich, skinny midgets.
What's on for the weeks to come, lads? Have we got anything exciting coming up?
Well, obviously, I've got the Illits review. I've got a couple of episodes of the getting into clay shooting bids that I want to sort of finish that series that I kind of stopped because of lockdown, which Johnny's now copied off me and done already. Twat. So they're kind of going to be rehashing. They're going to be rehashing the ground that he's already covered, but you know, in my way, so it'll be right.
It'll be slow.
Yeah.
Can you do one about cartridges? Because I didn't like the way Johnny's did one about cartridges.
I am going to do one about cartridges, funnily enough.
If it's not Bashiri and Pellegrini, it's shit.
I just thought you said you had some really good cartridges and you compare them to really shit cartridges and you didn't have any BMP sitting on your shelf there.
Well, to be fair, if they were available in this country without having to suck a cock, then I probably would have some.
That is a fair shot. You can't get BMP.
Are you being
here.
Serious?
No.
Yeah, they are extremely hard to get a hold of.
They're only made over the river there, aren't they? Like just on the other side there?
Wouldn't surprise me if there's what comes in is grey import and those who buy components off them in this country, which is many, probably have some kind of blockage agreement that they don't import the actual complete product, a bit like Maruka in America.
Yeah.
You've learned me something there. I didn't realise that. I thought it'd be readily available.
Nope.
Sounds I know there's other manufacturers that buy a lot of components off them, but you just can't get the good stuff.
It's debatable, mate. We're shooting those whole Pro ones with Ed and broke 100-yard crosses cleanly with a 7.5 28-gram. That takes a lot of boxes. That's pretty good.
You kind of like a Pro one. You kind of like.
I just find them really punchy. Maybe that's me. That's my personal opinion.
Are they?
The Sporting 100, they're not like. The Sporting 100 is a very soft cartridge. The pattern's really well, but it's pretty slow. If you get used to it and you know that you need that extra lead.
They're only what? Like they're what, 1375, 1400? They're not that slow.
It's slower than like some of their other cartridges by comparison, shall we say.
Oh, come on, Bruce. Spit it out. I can see it's on the tip of your tongue.
No, I've said my piece. I just find them extremely punchy. And I don't believe speed has anything to do with how clay target kills, to be fair.
Oh, yeah, no.
I've shot some of the... Yeah. I think speed...
It makes bugger all difference. It's just how much
gap. Very, yeah. That's it. Speed's a marketing ploy, and that's it.
At most common targets. So when we got out to 110 yards, we pulled out the Sovereign 6.5s. And yeah, I understand the shot size is bigger, but they're also 1,600 feet per second. You've got to understand that retained energy at the end does count for something at these stupid ranges. You're never going to see a competitive clay target past, what, 70 yards?
Yeah. Yeah, around that mark.
And most of us aren't shooting that far 90% of the time.
Not 98% of the time. Maybe in FITASC they see a few longer targets a bit more, but I can't think of a sporting layout that I've been to the clay tour yet where there's a target that, I mean, that's like, there's actually a stand at West London that is probably 65 yards. That's it. That's a long way.
Well, look at that video that Bruce sent us the other day of Kirsty Brick and that target with Skeet Chalk or whatever it was. You know what I mean? It is entire, and I've seen guys that I've shot with do the same. I saw a guy who shot the, it was one of the English, and he was, I think he came second or third, and he broke a fucking massive looper, and all he had in his gun was Skeet and Quarter. It was, honestly, it was like, and he smashed it to bits. It wasn't like a chippy, knock a half off it. It just fucking destroyed it consistently. Like, it was, you know, four pairs with a quarter choke in.
No, this was pure luck, but just because she's a beginner. I did review that video, and she was shooting top barrel first, so she missed with the quarter choke and shot that longbird with the skeet choke, 21 grand. So, yeah, I don't know. I like to shoot my box of sprinkles every now and again. I've just got a giant box with a bit of everything in it, and you can put whatever you're in your gun. Some breaks are better. I must admit that, definitely. But that goes more towards what your gun likes is what. Yes. Yeah. See, white golds used to shoot terribly in my Beretta, but they shoot really well in my fixed choke Barazzi, really well. Same as the Game Ball Blue Diamonds. But I still can't get past the breaks that you get with F2s. Now, they do a high-velocity version of that as well, the Bolshie and Pelagri, but they don't break targets very well in my gun. So it is very much a fine tune.
Yeah.
You find what your gun likes.
Yeah, definitely. My Blasi used to hit.
What your mind likes.
You can definitely see the difference in breaks. Absolutely. There's no getting around it.
Yeah, I'm not saying that, but at the same time, you have a good day and you are crunching stuff, suddenly that cartridge does make a big difference. And if you know the gun can do it, it's one less thing to worry about. But like you're saying, with a good gun fit, with a good grip, with a gun that handles well, you shouldn't have to get, like, it's hard enough to break them in the first place.
Exactly. Should we talk about pigeons for 10 minutes just to satisfy Eddie's
needs?
I was going to
say, I could feel like this is definitely the clay episode, isn't it? Like, being at home having like an epi with his honky honk.
Well, we're nowhere near any form of game season. So unless it's pigeons, we're basically all COVID or whatever, we're buggered. Have you shot any pest control at all in the last couple of weeks? Anyone?
Yeah, I shot some deer. That is that pest control in a way?
Delicious sure. Pest control.
Yeah, I shot a few deer. I shot quite a few muntjac. I think I went out just after we did our last episode and sat and shot four at a sitting, which is quite fun. And then I went out and saw a load, but they're all does.
Love to come down and get some munties with you sometime when I've got me ticket.
When hotels are open that you can sit and have a drink inside, come down so we can actually sit and have a drink inside and some dinner. You can come
in. SR. Okay,
what's the go with your hotels? When is that scheduled to reopen?
The hotels are currently open, July? But you can't sit inside for a drink. Isn't it May? I thought there was a date in May where you're allowed to eat inside.
I thought like fully open was like end of July.
Hey, I don't know. It sounds stupid. I chastised everyone for being like, you don't know when retail reopens, you fool. You know, I just, as soon as retail reopened, I'm like, all right, I don't give a shit about anything else.
But to be honest, if it's during the summer, I'm not fussed if we're allowed to eat inside. I'll quite happily eat outside.
Yeah, I mean, I know that I say it's really nice in the South, and for you, you'll be in shorts and T-shirt, but it's not that nice.
It is.
Oh, it is, actually.
Trust me, it is.
It's disgusting.
But yes, definitely some because we don't get any monkeys or CWD up here, so if it'll have to come down
we got plenty. Wise to come when they actually have antlers on their heads and not babies at foot, which will be now we're getting on September, October time again. Well, you can come and shoot them beforehand if you want, just you know, what's the point?
Lloyd, if you want to fill the freezer, drive a little bit north and get one of those giant reds.
Well, that might also be on the cards, but again, I'll be waiting for later in the year once I've got my ticket, etc. But yeah, I'd like to go and take a ride or a seeker at some point.
Get yourself a big one.
Well, just a regular size one, thanks. Because even the regular size ones are pretty fucking big.
Like shooting a horse.
As long as I don't shoot an actual horse.
Tell you what, I would quite like to go and hunt horses.
Horses are fun.
Dear.
Horses are real fun. This is, I really want to get away. I wish the borders were open. This whole travel thing's starting to do my head in a little bit. We've been told no international travel till 2024. Made me a little bit sad. Sort of spiraled me into a bit of, yeah, you know, that feeling of you just don't know when. You can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I've been wanting to get back to England, catch up with you guys, do a whole heap of other stuff. But I can't see that light at the moment. 2024 is a long way away.
You'll be properly old by then.
I will be properly old.
However, it does give me a chance to get good enough to kick your fucking ass when you come over.
You got to remember, I'm getting better at the same time, Jonathan. Yeah,
Johnny's got Johnny's got 2 or 3 years of intensive, sort of coaching with Ed to get up to speed. So when you turn up, he's going to fucking mash you.
I might have to slip him a few quid just to give you some shit tips.
He's got youth on his side as well, the twat.
No. According to the internet, you don't need to slip him any money to give me shit tips.
So, I don't know.
Have you got any content lined up? Johnny, have you got any content that you're thinking of? Or anything you want to share with the crew?
Well, we've got a lot to edit now. We've been filming real hard over the last few weeks. We've got quite a bit of client work on, so Sasha's working his ass off on that. Sam's moved over to the production side pretty much full time now, so he's working through a load of stuff. We're quite behind with the NGO content as well, but for the channel, I've got the Mamre Ricardo video coming, I've got another clay tour, I've got two clay tour videos to film in the next 2 weeks. Woohoo! One with you, Lloyd.
Yes, indeed.
That's exciting stuff. I'm on at Ladies Wood, that I believe have the highest tower in the UK.
Is Ladies Wood forested?
Ladies Wood is very dense bush.
I was going to say, is there bulk bush at Ladies Wood?
Right. Sorry.
There best be some good jokes about that. Come on, lads.
And then I'm with Thimblebee with you, Lloyd. And Ant, we get to see you two shoot together for the first time. I hope Ant actually brings some form, which we entertain.
Yeah, it'll be a good day. It'll be a good day. I gather they've got some fun lined up for us, so. It'll be a laugh.
Apart from that, I'm hopefully picking my long form up and finishing up a long form video on that gun build. And
I bet you can't wait.
I can't, mate. I really can't. Like it's a new era, a new era.
You're going to settle into this one and make it your number one go-to gun.
Yeah, it is the replacement for the Maruku. Yeah.
Yep.
Will you have it by the time you come see me, or?
I'll definitely have it by the time I come and see you. Hopefully, I have it. Well, I'm hoping, to be honest, I get to pick it up. Well, I've got to go and see a client at Sporting Targets next Friday, /friend, and I'm hoping that I might be able to pick it up the same day. But I mean, cool. It's a bit of a push because the gun's still not proofed. So who knows? Yeah, very exciting stuff. Yeah, that's exactly what I said. I said, I don't care. What's the worst that could happen? You get a fine, I die.
Yeah.
I'm putting a big gamble here.
Do they all go to the same place to get proofed? Yeah, is there one proofing house in the UK?
Ah, we have London and Birmingham.
Ooh. Ooh. That's pretty cool. I'd love to go to a proofing house and watch what they do.
I think you'd be surprised how fucking dull it is.
It's a load of civil servants putting cartridges in guns and pulling the triggers with string.
Yeah.
And then
then writing it down.
And then stamping it and putting it in a database. But yeah, it's pretty cool. So exciting. The London one has an amazing bit of history, a little museum. We'll go together when you're here. That's a promise. We'll do a video on it together. Ooh.
I'm still sold on this idea. We need to hire a little magic bus and put a few of us in it and do a bit of a clay tour over a few days with a lot of...
We can go and bang four or five
episodes out. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
With hot and cold running cider on board. Well, obviously the warm stuff ready.
If you drink it cold, it comes out hot.
I want all the interim stuff filmed as well. The after well,
yeah.
After
yeah, in my head, that's the thing. So, speaking of which, I can't
you get a bus with Paul.
I'm thinking an old limousine, like a really old, leggy
one that really stinks of sick.
Yeah,
like a bright pink Hummer
under the back seat,
glitter ingrained into the seats.
Yep. So the challenge is make the car run. So it's just like Clay Shooting / Top Gear. We make it run, we drive, and we get up to all sorts of shenanigans on the way.
Or we could go in pairs and all spend £500 a pair on a car and then try and drive up the country shooting glaze. So interestingly, and I'll ask you both this here, because it kind of bounced off the back there. A couple of guys at work have been watching Drive to Survive. I've been following F1 for years. Lloyd, you said you stopped watching it in 1942. And Bruce, you're Australian.
Yeah, when Sterling Moss stopped driving, I lost interest.
That young whippersnapper could drive. So,
I don't know. After F1 got so regulated and mandated, and it's stock cars, isn't it? With different drivers. I don't know.
It's who has the most money.
When I stopped watching it, it was basically the races seemed to be won or lost in the pits, and like how you drove didn't seem to matter because it was just a procession. There was very little overtaking. I gather that's changed now. But I always preferred BTCC because there was a bit more like nip and tuck, like shit or bust on every corner, like contact, whereas F1 is a bit too clinical and a bit too processional. Like I said, I gather it's changed now, but I just can't muster the desire to watch it again.
All right. So it doesn't matter whether you like F1 or not. The whole point of Drive to Survive is like it dramatizes F1 behind the scenes stuff. It's quite cool. I thought we should do that. And I've been thinking of this for a couple of days. We should do a version of that for like all the Masters and British and World Series in the UK.
Interesting.
Like, so it's a compilation of interviews and live footage, some of the guy stuff, some of the broadcast stuff, some of like it, and all of the team radios. I think it'd be epic if you could film each of the Masters events with like a 5-man camera team and edit that together. I think actually that would add some spice to clay shooting. I think that should be a thing.
So I think that's been
a terrible
mentioned.
Idea.
Have you heard of the what was it, the CPA? No, not the CPSA. The what was the PSCA that they had in America?
Yes.
And how it, like, they threw a lot of money at that to make that a viable series. And basically, I think it was Ben Husway suggested that it come out, and if you filmed more about the characters,
yes,
than the shooting. That's the only way that would
turn
make
it into reality TV.
Yeah, very much so, because no one actually cares. The shooting is a really dull sport, and I'm aware of somebody working on a interesting version of clay target shooting with like scoreboards and making it actually quite interesting and visually engaging with teams and the like, which would be very cool. I'll talk to you about off air potentially one day when I'm allowed. But yeah, like you could go and you could. I mean, if Husfeldt was actually allowed to compete in these competitions, then you could speak to him. But you could interview some of these big names, and it was all done on the same set, and you get like to talk to them, and you can cut their interviews together. It's an editing nightmare / masterpiece. It wouldn't be cheap, but it would be epic. And the problem is, if you did it cheaply, it would just be utterly dull, boring shit. It needs an investment.
So
the personalities are behind those people are what makes it, and the shit talking during, after.
Yeah, all the lack thereof.
So this week, why don't we say that's your recommendation? Because normally we do like a social media recommendation. You're saying Drive to Survive is good watching, right?
I love it. It's really well produced. And I don't really care about watching it for the story because it's all about the season that I've just watched, and I follow it quite closely anyway, so it doesn't make much of a difference to my life.
I will watch it. I'd show no interest in it, but I'll give it a watch.
Yeah, watch the latest series because they have got progressively better. So watch a couple of the first episodes of the latest, just to see the concept and go, yeah, this could work. You know, we're here at the Essex Masters, blah, 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 blah. You do the interviews with the guys before, after, during, you video it in the stands.
So my recommendation on the back of that then is for a TV show. Oh, it is quite old now. It was aired originally on the History Channel. I don't think it's ever actually formally been aired in the UK, but it's called Top Shot.
Top Shot.
Top Shot with Kobe. So it was 3 seasons of effectively almost like shooting competitions mixed with like Big Brother style. Everybody lives in a house and then gets on each other's tits. And there's some big characters, like, as you would expect, alpha male dickheads. Proper like you're showing off to each other and like being penises, along with some fairly well-designed, and you can see the budget over three seasons gets better because they get to play with bigger toys. Some well-designed shooting competitions, and it's interesting. Some of it will make you super cringe because some of the experts that are like doing, oh yeah, this is how you do this, and you're like, yeah, really, is it? But it's great, and there's three seasons of it.
It's amazingly filmed, like it's brilliant. It's actually just good watching, regardless whether you care about shooting or not.
It's available on Amazon now. I'm pretty sure it's on Prime in the UK.
It is, yeah.
Look it up. Bruce, I don't know if you're not looking like you're a man who's heard of it, but I strongly recommend you look that up, mate.
I'm going to have to get one of those VPN things, I think.
Top Shot. Look it up. Or you can download it illegally if you have access to such things.
I thought there's a few episodes on YouTube, to be fair.
All right. I've got the YouTubes.
The guy that wins season one's a Brit. He's a Northerner, funnily enough, but he's a Brit. And he's got a whole career off it. I mean, he's doing stuff off the back. But as is actually, I think of the three winners, two of them, I know for a fact, have got like full-time jobs in the shooting industry off the back of it. Chris Cheng is a full-time pro shooter for, I don't know if it's Beretta or like one of the other big sort of pistol manufacturers. And the other guy was doing like presenting TV shows and now he's on a YouTube channel as well. And I forgot his bloody name. But, yeah.
I started watching a series yesterday, actually, called Gallipoli.
All right.
It's not really your history, but it's about the Australians and
I've seen the film.
Yeah, so this is just a TV series. Yeah. It's quite good. I'm three episodes in, and it's not a bad series. Very well filmed.
Is that on ABC or?
Netflix, mate. Netflix.
We did have soldiers in Gallipoli, though.
That's true, yes. Yep.
Yeah. So we can have like a couple of percentage
field. Before anybody says anything, I wasn't fucking there, all right? Fuck off.
You were stuck in Burma, you old bastard.
That was it. I had bone spurs, so I didn't bother. I was there.
Yeah, people threw white feathers at you in the street.
I'm
keeping the nation running, like.
Well, that's the thing, you see. A lot of people from the Northeast who worked down the pits never went to war because they worked down the pits and it was essential
services.
Yeah, you had to stop down the pits. Me granda was in the Home Guard, but then died of black lung because he worked down the pits. So, you know, swings and roundabouts. Hey-ho. Chaps, it has been a significant amount of time, and I think we're going to be a short and sweet podcast since we haven't had any interruptions due to the lack of an Eddie.
We were allowed to talk about clay shooting for more than three seconds.
We were indeed allowed to talk about clay shooting and guns.
I kind of missed the honk, though. I missed the goose honker.
And I can't do a goose honk. I was going to do one earlier on when Johnny was talking about his long thumb, but I was like looking for a goose honk noise on my phone.
Oh,
couldn't find one.
I'm outnumbered 2-1 on Paratsy. I didn't even think about it. This is awful.
No, but you have a long thorn now.
Yeah, but that's not a thing for you because you're not English, so it shouldn't matter a shot to you.
Yeah, I know.
Here's a question for you. Are there any Australian firearms manufacturers?
Yeah, Lithgow. Yeah.
I've not heard of them.
Yeah, they make a cracking little 22, and they used to make arms for the war.
Yeah, they make Brens and Enfields back in the day.
Yeah, but Everybody made Brens and Enfields back in the day.
Even you made Brens and Enfields back in the day.
Yeah. Here we go. Yeah.
After you got the Purple Heart.
It was actually my middle name.
So that I think just the one manufacturer,
right?
Which is Lithgow. Yep, they had a bit of a shaky start. They came back out, and started making firearms again after a long extended period, and they weren't very good. There was a couple of recoils on their early guns, but I think they've got them sorted, and they are quite expensive, so inherently
they're like an expensive heavy tika.
Yeah,
all right. Is it like a proper target gun?
No, hunting target mixture thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
kind of like your Night Force scope.
Right.
Not really designed to do anything well. But it's there and it functions.
But it's too late because you've already got one.
Exactly. I was testing it last night, funnily enough. as I was having a look at
Did you manage to see your penis at 10 times max?
Well, I was checking out as it was going down to the blue hour. I was checking out hedgerows at sort of 200 and 300 yards to see what the man had. Surprising how much light it was pulling in.
Fuck all if it was anything there.
It was surprising how much light it was pulling in. I think the glass is very good. And I was also able to focus on and read the menu of a Costa drive-thru 1.3 kilometres away.
Wow.
Which is going to be useful when I'm stalking.
You have got way too much zoom for a stalking scope.
Wow.
I was quite impressed with it. It is a hell of a piece of kit. I just need a rifle to put it on.
Air gun? It's right up your street.
No. No, thanks. I'm all right, thanks.
Has anyone had any gripes over the last 2 or 3 weeks before we wrap up?
Aside from being told off about me side-by-side review, no, not really.
No, nothing's really pissed me off in the last couple of weeks, apart from life. I just had a bit of an issue with life, lack of money getting in the way of me doing fun stuff. I think that's everyone's
an
issue.
An international playboy, which should be where you're at, but you're not. You took a wrong turn at 18.
Oh, it's still my head.
The lottery.
But it is what it is. You get what you get, you don't get upset.
Hey, mate, you could be worse. You could have mates that are complete twats that rip the piss out of you when you can't go shooting.
I thoroughly enjoy that part of my day, to be fair. When I wake up in the morning and find 62 unread messages from the broken guy. Oh, that is one of the best parts of my day. You listen to what fuckery is going to go on here. It gives me 10 minutes in the morning just to forget about what life's doing and listen to you twats talk shit.
We should release it as a some form of media at some point.
It'll be soon. Very quickly. On the up note, we could all spend time in prison together.
Oh, yeah. Well maybe if we're lucky, we'll get deported.
If we were deported to Australia. Yeah.
Might export me to face crimes for over there. You never know.
Do we have an extradition treaty with Australia? I don't know that we do.
Probably wouldn't. You wouldn't think so.
You know you're a criminal when you know what countries have an extradition treaty and not quite. Bloody Northerners.
That's a good point. That was a question. It wasn't a statement, Johnny.
I'm trying to think of something, an Instagram or channel or something to recommend this week. I'm a little bit stuck on this one.
Well, you've recommended Gallipoli. Is there anything else on Netflix?
Yeah, I'm just going to go with that one. It's a good show. Yeah, watch it on Netflix, Gallipoli. That's going to be my recommendation for the week. What was the show that we were talking about during the week? The vegan propaganda one.
Game Changers.
Yes. That had me for a little while, I must admit. I got sucked in by media there. I watched the first bit, not knowing it was vegan propaganda until 3/4 of the way through, and went, what's going on here? And then it finally clicked, and I went, I've been manipulated by the media.
I'm also not watching the Seaspiracy. I'm not watching it. It can't be awesome.
That was a load of shit from the start, to be fair. I did give that a go. But
it's not called Conspiracy for a start, so we've obviously missed out there. No, not interested.
Gallipoli is on British Netflix.
Oh,
that's what you are gazing at. I just wondered, you seem to have suddenly become...
Well, I thought I'd have a little look, but no, it's not here. There is no Gallipoli.
Oh.
Bugger. I'm going to have to recommend something else.
All of our Australian listeners...
You could recommend the Somerset Hunters, but they'll never fucking turn up.
He's constantly taking breaks from social media.
As an ode to Eddie not being here this week, I recommend the Somerset Hunters as a fantastic Instagram page.
Oh, thank you very much, Bruce.
Just in case anyone
was
wondering.
Return the favour, but I think you're a prick.
Just in case anyone was wondering just before, that was Bruce speaking, not Eddie, who thought that the accent was just...
Shit. What about yourself, Floyd? What did you recommend this week?
Top Shot.
Go watch that one.
History Channel or available on Prime. It is top watching. Get stuck in. It's come back to me when you've seen it, and then we'll discuss it. There's some great moments in it, particularly There's some actually like some really like heartwarming moments in it. There's like sort of sloppy American sort of shite, but like genuinely there's some heartwarming stuff, and it's a really good show. So I totally recommend watching it.
On a quick side note, you mentioned this week. Now we've just been doing this as a bit of a giggle. It's a laugh. The Broken Gun is just to entertain us, get drunk on a Saturday or Sunday night. It's actually done all right on the podcast standings. Where are we sitting?
We peaked. We're sitting at 24th in the UK Wilderness podcast chart at the moment. But we peaked, believe it or not, at 16th, which put us, I think, 5 places behind Meat Eater.
Wow.
Like, with actual Meat Eater off the telly. which I was pretty chuffed about, if I'm brutally honest. I think that's mint. So if everyone could continue to listen and give us good ratings and that would be mint, because we want to be number one, goddammit!
I personally would like to thank everyone that listens to it, because this was just a bit of a fuck around, and if it wasn't for the people listening to it, then we wouldn't be doing it.
We are famous yet!
Famous yet, or what?
Yeah.
Save it for the end.
That was I idly checked. It's not something I like religiously do. I think I had the page loaded in my phone from the last time I checked, like a month ago, and I don't use the browser on my phone very often. And I was flicking through looking for something. I was like, oh, like I wonder. Fucking hell, 16th. Up from
not bad. I think
we were 60 odd the last time I checked. So yeah, that's pretty cool. Thank you very much, everyone who listens. You guys are part of the reason we do this. The other part of the reason is that we actually enjoy it, I think. Do we?
I thoroughly enjoy it.
It is good. It feels kind of weird doing one without Eddie.
I'm not a fan. Yeah. We need Ed back.
Bless him.
Definitely.
Miss the Ed.
Or as soon as he gets some other Wurzel.
He's to get his bloody house sorted out.
As soon as he figures out how to connect an outlet in his cave, We should be fine. I hear he's getting a stonemason in to bore a hole through the cave wall to get an outlet put in, so we should be fine for a couple of weeks' time.
Semaphore G doesn't quite cut it.
Hopefully.
He lives in a Faraday cage.
He should have been in just a regular, Faraday very high security cage. Fucking animal.
Rightio, that should wrap it up for this week. Unless you've got a recommendation there, Jonathan.
I mean, I suppose I by proxy recommended Drive to Survive, but I'm going to change my recommendation is to go and get your gun fitted and spend some actual money having your guns fitted. I've kind of had one of those couple of weeks moments. I do a lot of gun fitting, back to the doing it properly now, which is nice to be actually see humans again. And the amount of people who get told their guns viciously don't fit.
Oh, God.
And then do nothing about it or want the bare minimum done about it. And to be honest, it's just got my tits. And there's been a few great people this last few weeks who've actually committed to having proper gun fits, understanding that it takes time and money to do a proper job, but it is worth it in the end.
It's not a one-session thing either. It's
pay for 10 hours of my time takes a lot of money. I mean, and I'm not particularly expensive by gun fitter standards. Because it does take 10 hours of time, and that includes with them and on the gun, if not more sometimes, but it's worth it. Like, people begrudge it because they buy a £1,000 silver pigeon and go, oh, but it's going to cost me like hundreds of pounds to have a gun fit. And you go, but I tell you what you'll do with that £1,000 gun afterwards, you'll dominate.
My big gripe here is your eye is the rear sight of a shotgun. Now, how much will you spend on a bit of glass for a rifle? Take that money and go spend it on a gun fit, because that's essentially what you're doing is putting a scope on your shotgun, which is your rear eye.
Caveat though is when you get past a certain point, I think most people will buy a silver pigeon or a 5T5 and they'll go out and they'll shoot for 6 months, 8 months, a year before they're in a position where a fitting will make difference. Because if you come and get a fitting too early, you're wasting your money.
No, see, I think, again, like Bruce said, it's a completely stage-driven thing. I couldn't go in and just buy a sub-original Browning.
Oh, no, you couldn't. But you're not average.
A lot of people could just do with mounting it, and you can just go to a decent gun fitter or a gun fitter.
Yeah, sell your gun that halfway fits.
And look at them and go, all right, this one's good. I'm going to bang half an inch of cast on it just to put you in the ballpark. I'm going to stick 2 inches on the back. No, that won't ever fit you because the shape of your face won't deal with a 35, 40, 55 drop. You need a 30, 40 or something like that. And it's just got on my tits. That's all. Yeah. But that's my recommendation, is that people start looking at guns slightly differently. And a lot of this, I suppose, isn't driven by the Manor of Ricardo thing, but it's €700 for a custom stock. Go spend some money.
Is that all?
€700.
That was a nice bit of wood for 700, Nicolai.
The adjuster costs...
Hang on, what's that in GBP? About 12 grand?
Yeah, about 15,000 pounds. Which is about $12 billion.
Yeah, 72,000 dingo dollars.
Yeah, so €700 plus €200 for an adjustable comb.
Wow.
You can't fall off with that.
Like, so even if... The thing is, buy yourself a pigeon. Have your stock turned into a pattern stock. Stick shit all over it. Have it made right. Kind of rough. So even if you're spending money not perfectly, take that stock, stick it in a box, send it to Portugal, and boom, back will arrive the perfect stock. It's, let's say, including a stock, going to cost you £1,200. And that's not, that. I mean, it's a fair whack of money, don't get me wrong. So I'm not going to belittle £1,200.
No, it's not note.
But instead of buying a 692 for £2,500, well, a silver pigeon and £1,200 on a fucking stock that fits, providing that that's actually something that you think benefits you. But it's not even the stock, the grip, the way the pad fits in your shoulder. Everything matters if you want to be good. And both you boys have custom-built guns, I presume, Bruce, sort of.
Mine's not custom-built. Well, kind of is, kind of not. I've got a bit of wood that was not meant for my gun on my gun. A mate had purchased that piece of wood, was extremely pretty, didn't quite fit him. So they just out and out made him another piece of wood. But when that gun arrived, I threw it up and it's like so close to my measurements that it may as well be a custom fit bit of wood for me.
Yeah.
So I have changed the pitch a tiny bit, but I'll have that altered permanently at the end of this season.
I'd say the difference is, and I'm sure you'll back me up here, guys, when you mount it, you just don't have to think about it. It is just there.
It's just the thing.
There's
yeah.
no, ah, crap. Like, there's no moment of fitting it to yourself or, you know, doing the movement that makes it fit you or any of that shit. It just fits.
You know what else fixes that? Hundreds and hundreds of gun mounts in the garden.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
put a bit of practice in. That costs nothing. Makes the world of difference.
Something we need to actually talk about actually is perhaps we should have mentioned this earlier is the amount of time Kirsty's been spent practicing. Maybe you don't want to talk about it because it's your wife, but we've been talking about.
No. Bruce doesn't have a wife. Bruce is like
exists in a vacuum.
He's a polygamous, rotting stag of a man.
She has. She's been spending hours and hours on end in the garden. Practicing gun mounts. Now, the gun's relatively new, and she is extremely new to shooting. But her gun mount looks like she's been shooting for 2 years now. It's made a huge difference.
For the sake of doing a lot of dry drills.
Yep, lots of dry drills, and with snap caps. Because I initially got her to pull the trigger on an empty chamber without her knowing. I slipped a cartridge in on an incomer, and she flinched big time. So we've been doing a lot of drills that made her realize that, oh, wow, I do anticipate the recoil. So we're doing heaps of drills with snap caps just to get the gun steady and pull the trigger. Nice and smooth, not snatching, just a real nice, clean, crisp trigger pull.
It's super important for pistol shooters. Difference. And it's something that gets so ignored by a lot of like shotgun shooters is how fucking yanky they are on the trigger. And how
I noticed flinchy. It. I had a lesson from Gavin Miles, and he said to me, you don't know you're doing it, but he got me to shoot a springing teal, and he'd snuck a fired cartridge in. And he yanked the gun.
Yeah.
I went, wow, I didn't realize I'd do this. And he's like, it needs to become smoother and more deliberate. So those little drills work. Absolutely, they work.
It's one of those fascinating things that people are. I think the majority of people, and we discussed this before, are just really happy being bad because they don't do the little things that makes them a little bit better.
Yeah, because effort.
Yeah.
Because you're throwing the 1%. Yeah, it's 1% on top of 1% on top of 1%, which makes
the bigger picture. And if you're looking for four targets in a competition, you might have to add more than 4 1% together. You may have to add 50. And if it's little things like diet and hydration, mental preparation for the week, how you are, how your family life is before a shooting competition, then these things actually matter. And I think you find if you want to compete at that upper echelon, everything else gets sacrificed. There's no drinking. Everything is, it's whether you can be bothered to do it or not. Well, and if you're okay with, see, I'm all right with being an okay shot and having a bit of fun.
Yes.
Now, if you want to go that next level, I understand that there has to be huge sacrifices made. Yes. And I don't think I'm willing to do it for a sport that doesn't pay back any money.
So you might as well enjoy it.
But it's you've gotten to a point that you're happy with based on the amount of effort that you're willing to put in to achieve that. And you've sort of reached an equilibrium.
And how you were saying
you have
before,
to
John,
accept that as a shooter, that like you are only a product of how much effort and time and money you're able to put into it. You're never going to get better than C if you shoot once every like 3 months and you turn up and shoot 50 targets and then walk away. You're not going to turn into fucking George Digweed overnight because you've watched a YouTube video.
I'm willing to pay for lessons. I'm willing to pay for gun fits. I'm willing to sit at home and practice your bloody gun.
It's not there. You know, it just
the funny one you mentioned before, John, about Eddie having a tantrum when he missed a few targets.
He's gonna beat me to death when I see him.
Please tell me that's on the video.
I saw quite a...
we were pretty horrible to Eddie, but then we were also shooting with Ryan Escape Suburbia, and then, Eddie turned on Ryan. It's going to be quite a lot of pigeon noises in this video. I do not envy Sam for having to put this edit together. Hence, it's put back after.
You should just mute the whole episode. Done.
But to be fair,
with my
quality of Eddie's voiceover, I'd be like, "All right, Brian, how you doing? Yeah, mate, I'm all right. How you doing? Like, you do like a full-on conversation voiceover, well out of time, like a bad Chinese movie."
You should get Bruce to record the audio with this Somerset accent, obviously, which is spot on. Nobody will be able to tell.
Maybe I should just do an Australian accent over Eddie.
Yes.
G'day, mate. Oh, what the fuck he's up to? We're here to miss some shit or what? Fuck are you pricks doing? Right. We probably should wrap it up there.
Gentlemen, I think, yes, it is time. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I don't know. We haven't got anybody lined up. Well, potentially we've got a couple of people lined up as guests on future episodes, but we just need to sort out timings.
And Eddie's Wi-Fi.
Yeah, well, fair enough. Yeah, Eddie appearing as a guest on his own show. But yeah, potentially we've got a couple of people lined up. We just need to sort out diaries, etc., and make sure that they're available. Go on.
If they've got anyone, if any of the listeners have someone they would like to see on the podcast or hear on the podcast, jump over to the Instagram, The Broken Gun, shoot them a
DM, a
private message. Mm-hmm. Yep, and we'll see what we can work out. If you would like to be on yourself, if you think you're interesting enough, come for the challenge. We'll all get pissed up and take the piss out of you.
Please note, though, that you might get... be aware that you might get a shitty response if we disagree.
This is the cleanest episode to date and will take very little editing.
Yeah,
Previous episodes do involve much bad language. Significant high-level bullying and all sorts of nasty things. So if you think you want to come on, you're man enough.
Go for it, Sam. It'll be lovely.
Absolutely.
Bring your thick skin.
Yeah, no snowflakes, thanks.
Bring your foreskin.
No, foreskins are optional.
No, yes. Skins or no skins, bring it.
Guys, that was by far and away the most technical and boring episode we've ever done. So anyone stuck around right till the end.
Well done. Congratulations to all of you.
You clearly love clay shooting. This is our highest viewed episode. I'm going to love it. It'll be like, Eddie, you've got to talk about clay.
we'll have to take his call off. Right, chaps. I've been Lloyd Patterson. I'm available on that there YouTube at Lloydie P.
I'm Ben
Bruce.
Ooh, sorry, Bruce. Oh, Bruce. Sorry, I thought I'd interrupt you, seeing as Eddie's not here. Someone else too.
Yeah. I've been Bruce. You can follow me on Bruce's Shooting on Instagram or Facebook. Have a lovely weekend.
And I've been Johnny Carter off of TGS Outdoors. Guys, thank you very much for listening. And guys, thank you very much for a lovely hour and a half of conversation. Are we fucking famous yet or what?
I'd like to hope so. See you, lads.
See you later, guys.